The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Some breaking news that we are following this afternoon. A homicide investigation is underway in North Edmond. Tonight, we know OSBI is assisting the Logan County Sheriff's Office. This scene, and we have it on the map there, it's near Coltrane Road and Simmons. So that's north of Waterloo.
Yes, this investigation is unfolding in the Cascada Falls neighborhood. This is just north of Edmond. Right now, investigators are trying to understand what may have happened inside of a home before a mother was killed.
This is an incredibly sad story.
49-year-old Spring Weems was found dead inside of a trash can in this Logan County neighborhood Wednesday. It was near Bryant and Simmons Road. Deputies were initially called for a welfare check from people who had not seen Spring lately.
Abby and Evan, really a tragedy here. We now know that the victim in this case is 49-year-old Spring Weems. She was found dead inside of a trash can outside of her Logan County home. And now we know the accused killer was her adopted son.
You're talking about a woman who lost her life in just a brutal way.
This was the scene KOCO brought to you Wednesday afternoon in Logan County near Bryant and Simmons Road. It started as a welfare check when family members hadn't heard from 49-year-old Spring Weems.
When the 911 call was made for that welfare check, whenever deputies showed up to the house, that there were only those two teens who were there.
Investigators searched the property and tried piecing together stories from each teen.
When deputies continued to talk with them and learn more about maybe what had occurred, they were able to basically piece together that the woman was not there. When they looked for her, they found her in that trash can in front of the property.
Deputies arrested Weems' adopted teenage son in connection to her murder. They couldn't say how she was killed, only that her body was found in a trash can. They also couldn't say how long she had been there.
Neighbors speaking with us off camera about the tragic news.
Tragic because it involved youth.
Kids are always running around, riding their bikes down the street, ballparks on the street.
And we now know that teenager is in the Canadian County Juvenile Facility on a first-degree murder complaint. They're still trying to figure out a motive.
Just an awful story. Of course, just one violent incident among hundreds of thousands that go on every single day. But this one, as it happens, it's right across the street from our headquarters campus here, from our college. I mean, that hits close to home, and it's picked up by the international media. It's in the Daily Mail today as well. Violence, I mean, it says in Genesis 6, the earth was filled with violence. And this is just another reminder, one of many, that we're living in Satan's world, that human civilization has gone the way of Cain. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show, the last show of the week. Another fast-moving week and lots of stories to get to. Usually, we don't just dwell on one isolated incident, or at least one that is limited to a family. There certainly are isolated incidents that explode into, you know, an earth-shaking event. But so many scriptures come to mind when you think about this sort of thing going on. The woman is a religious woman. She attends one of the churches here in Edmond. The two sons were adopted. I guess just one of them is responsible for the murder. But a sign of dysfunction, I guess. A sign that, where's God? I mean, this was a religious woman. Lots of questions. You know, if people would consider deeper questions in life, and we're going through Mystery of the Ages right now, and Mr. Armstrong asks all the right questions, and then he gives God's answers. He gives God's perspective. And that's what the world needs. Otherwise, you just look at these random acts of violence and you think, what is going on? Why didn't God stop it? Why didn't God prevent this? Well, there are answers to those questions if you're curious enough to look into the Bible. But the Bible is, I mean, that's the last source that we turn to. Most people don't even turn to it. It's just universally ignored. It's the Bible says, you can read it in 2 Timothy, all scripture is given by inspiration from God. Now, if people believe that, well, you think they'd be just plowing through the Bible every single day. I want to learn if this is from God. If God is our maker, if he's the creator, and then he sends along with his creation an instruction manual. Well, that's the book I'm turning to for answers. It's like we say at the opening of our Life and Teachings podcast. You know, on this show, we look to the only reliable source there is when it comes to the life and the teachings of Jesus Christ. And that's the beauty of it. I mean, you can look into it for yourself. You can prove all things. You don't have to take my word for it or any other preacher's word for it. You can see what the Bible says. And now I'll point you to scriptures, passages that you can study. But you can't take a man's word for it. You can't put your trust in a man or a man's heart. We have to look to the Bible. The Daily Mail says, Christian mother, 49, murdered by her adopted son, then dumped into a trash can outside of her Oklahoma home. I think we've got four or five families in this church that live in this neighborhood. I mean, that is a gruesome story to wake up to, and then to think it happened just down the street. It made me think this morning when I was thinking about this, it just reminded me of what was going through my mind when we were driving, I forget the name of the city, we were driving through that city in Utah back in October to see the university campus where Charlie Kirk was gunned down by that violent thug, that pervert living with the transgender and so on. And as we were driving through the community to the university campus, I was just looking around, nice looking community, just like the neighborhood across the street from this campus. Very nice community, nice looking. But as we were driving through that Utah town, I thought, well, that transgender murderer probably lives somewhere right around here in one of these nice looking homes, a seemingly normal family. There's a sickness that has set in, and it's spreading. It's spreading like leaven. We read the verse, I forget which passage already, it was in class this morning, where Jesus warned of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy, and the leaven of the Herodians, which is worldliness. Those sins spread. The ways of this world have spread. The way of Cain has spread. And hypocrisy has too. There's a lot of self-righteous hypocrites, even in the world of religion. We all have to fight against it. We're all hypocrites. We're all self-righteous. The self wants to be right. The self resists against God's word, the final authority. The self is hostile to God. Her adopted teenage son was booked into a juvenile detention center on a first-degree murder complaint. Police were called to her quiet street in the Cascada Falls neighborhood after a fight involving a weapon broke out between her two teenagers. So the boys were fighting. Some kind of weapon involved. The police arrive. They stop the fight. They question both boys and then come to find out one of them murdered the mom. Weems lived alone with the two teenagers at her home and is understood to be their sole guardian. She was seemingly very involved in her children's lives. She boasted about their accomplishments on social media and so on. The family are also believed to have been parishioners at the non-denominational Evangelical Life Church. Weems publicly shared her faith in God on social media. Just 10 days ago, she wrote a review calling out a Christian food pantry for alleged poor treatment of a homeless person. She had some things to say during the so-called Summer of Love, the George Floyd riots. She referred to God and pleaded for people to love each other and to stop the violence. It says here, Weems shared that as a parent, she taught her children not to fight and to love each other. So something broke down. I don't want to put this dead woman down or her memory, but I'm just making a larger point that something is dreadfully wrong with our society. Something is dreadfully wrong with families. Families in this case that were patched together, you know, and sometimes people, even with those arrangements, they've got good intentions and they want to try to help. But then, you know, where adopted children are coming from, it's, you know, it's anyone's guess. Could be a pretty troubled background. It's not like that, you know, that can't help somebody get their life on track. But in many cases, you know, we just find out in the end it just isn't working. The laws of God are the only way. God spells it out for us in the Bible. This is the instruction manual. This is how you make a marriage work. This is how you raise children. And even then, none of us do that perfectly. But the blessings that result from obeying God's laws of marriage and family, the Ten Commandments, I mean, these are the very things that even in the world of religion, they reject. I played this clip yesterday in that program we recorded. It's, and some of you remember it well, it's Mr. Armstrong, Herbert Armstrong, speaking on the day of Pentecost in 1985, his final Pentecost message, the one where he talked about most of God's people just weren't getting it. They weren't understanding their purpose, the plan that God's working out here below. The clip I played to start the show was him saying, Jesus Christ was a teacher. A teacher who came from God, and he taught disciples, he taught students, and God's church is a teacher's college, and we're here in training. We're being trained not just to receive the truth, but to teach it, to use it, to give it to other people. And as soon as that clip finished, I just said, you know, most of you watching this probably have never heard anything like that before. The church is a teacher's college? The congregants are disciples or students? We're here to learn and then learn how to teach others? And yet all of that's very biblical. It just comes right out of the Bible. I mean, the term disciple means student. So think about what you're doing. If you're, I mean, I know there's plenty of students that just go off to college and they're not serious about it. It's a time to party and whatever. But if you're a serious-minded student and you're going off to some educational institution, learning how to be an engineer, let's say, I mean, you're going to have to put in the time. You're going to have to go to class. You're going to have to put in extra study. And you're going to have to learn how to be or do what you are in training to do. It's the same thing with God's truth. More so, in fact. As I was saying in the freshman Bible class this morning, I mean, we have, if you think about how much time and energy and effort goes into food preparation, we've just gone through these two spectacular miracles. You know, John 6, God feeding 5,000 people miraculously. And then there's another incident in I think it's Mark 8, 4,000 people fed miraculously, same kind of miracle. Food from heaven above. God wants us to consume spiritual food. He wants us to have a real hunger and thirst for it. And you know, I was telling the students about my dog. She wakes up hungry and she is thinking about food most of the day when she's not sleeping or, you know, running, going for her walk, or maybe a little playtime here and there. I mean, she's thinking about food. And I told the students, you know, most of us are probably not that far behind her. You know, you think about food and food. If you're trying to prepare healthier foods, especially if it's a homemaker that's trying to take the time and make sure that her family receives all the health benefits from nutrition, there's a lot of time and thinking and planning that goes into it. God wants us to do that spiritually. To think about meals that we need through the day. Because we're meant to follow the example of Jesus Christ. We're meant to follow in his steps. This is not shallow religion we're talking about here. We really have to live it. Live by every word of God. Matthew 4:4. And so if you're living by every word, I mean, obviously, you're digging in and studying it. You're consuming it. Paul said to Timothy, be nourished. Be nourished by the words of faith and by good doctrine. We need spiritual nourishment. We need nutritious food, meals. I mean, God fed the Israelites of old with manna from heaven. Literally, it rained from heaven. And like Jesus explained in John 6, that was meant to just reinforce a much larger point that we need spiritual food. In Revelation 2, it's called hidden manna because most of this world, it's not their time. Their minds haven't been open to the truth. They're deceived. Revelation 12, 9. If your mind is open to the truth, I mean, you've got to show God that you value it, that you're hungry for it, that you love it. Jude 11, verse 11, it says, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Cain was the first human being to commit murder. And where, oh, where did he get that angry spirit of murder, where did that come from? Well, that came from the mind of the devil. And Ephesians 2, verses 2 and 3, I mean, those verses speak of the devil's influence. The devil has a mind. It's corrupt. It's deranged. It's filled with the spirit of murder and hatred and lies. You can see that in John 8, 44. And that mind is influencing the minds of human beings all over the earth. And I mean, it's showing itself not just with, you know, protests and violence in Minneapolis or the atrocity on October 7. I mean, you see mental derangement on display everywhere. In the news stack today, there's a story about, I think, something like 4,000 people, some kind of class action lawsuit over the horrible side effects of these drugs that are meant to help you lose weight dramatically, quickly, Ozempic and others like it. And people are having these catastrophic health trials because they're taking this man-made drug that's making them sick. And also, by the way, frail and skinny looking. What is wrong with people? Completely healthy, normal-looking people. I mean, a lot of them are in Hollywood, celebrities. It's not like they're struggling with obesity. But yet they want to get, I guess, skinnier. And then they end up looking infirmed and sick. I mean, that is mental derangement. Satan is just, he's having a party right now. You see his influence. Everywhere. 2 Timothy 3, we've read this so many times. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Mr. Armstrong said this, since it's a basic truism that the solid family structure is the foundational bulwark of any stable and permanent society, this means only one thing. Civilization as we know it is on the way down and out. Unless that great unseen strong hand from someplace soon intervenes and saves today's sick society. Now, was he just a Jeremiah? Was he just, you know, being negative Was he just trying to put people down? Or was he just trying to give the truth? Winston Churchill talked about all the lies and the delusions that were being spread in 1937, 1938, 1939. And I mean, he said, I'm kind of paraphrasing, but he said, you know, I feel for the people. I understand they don't want to be told that, you know, we're spiraling into World War II, but they should know the truth, even if it's uncomfortable, even if they don't want it. They need the truth. It's the truth that will set us free. Nothing else, just God's truth. Mr. Armstrong said this downward plunge to immorality, he said it's rapidly becoming a greater threat to humanity than the hydrogen bomb. I mean, it's like I said yesterday on the show. I mean, hydrogen bombs are real. You can pretend all you want that they'll never be used. I mean, man's only going to use medium-sized bombs. And maybe a lot of small bombs. But nobody's ever going to use a nuclear weapon. Who would be that crazy? They were made because they're going to be used. This is where we are. We didn't cross the threshold into a time period where Matthew 24, 21, and 22 could be fulfilled until 1945 when those bombs dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And then suddenly, well, not long after anyway, like you heard on those clips yesterday, there were enough nuclear bombs on Earth to kill humanity many times over. Wow, well, that really brings Matthew 24 into the picture. He was right. In this case, Jesus Christ, he was right. God's going to have to intervene to stop the madness. Otherwise, we'd wipe ourselves out. Verse 2, this is 2 Timothy 3, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. You see where we are? After all of the modern, sophisticated, scholarly instruction, well, here's what we have to say about child rearing. Out with the old and in with the new. We've got some new ideas. They're progressive. They're merciful. They're loving. Someone told one of our alumni students, a woman, you know, I'm not about to let my husband touch my children. They're too cute. I don't touch them either. No discipline like that at all. Well, how do you think that's going to turn out when those children are teenagers and they've been pampered and spoiled? How do you, knowing what we know from the Proverbs and everywhere else? We've got a beautiful book, Child Rearing with Vision. I mean, it takes some dedicated parents. When a new human life shows up, I mean, what a responsibility. It's a grave responsibility. God says, you're fashioning, in many ways, you're fashioning a future God being. That's something to take seriously. I mean, if we're in training, if we're being prepared and taught to teach others, well, that mindset alone, it changes everything. As soon as an infant shows up, you're like, okay, I'm responsible for this little infant. I've got to teach it. Yeah, I've got to provide and care for it and nurture it and all those, and certainly love that new human being. But what about when there's a need for loving discipline, structure, even punishment? God punishes. God's our Heavenly Father. God says, don't spare the rod. God talks about correction in Hebrews 12. I mean, you could go through one passage after another. How do you remove a disobedient, rebellious spirit from a child? And every child will, just newsflash, every child will have some of that. And you have to confront it. If you acknowledge that there's a real spirit world and that Satan exists and that he's the God of this world and that he's deceived the whole world, well, then you also have to acknowledge that I've got my work cut out for me to keep myself in line. And then if you're a new parent, now I'm responsible for this child. I've got to give that child direction. The proverb says, train them up in the way that they should go. And when they're old, they won't depart from it. But they've got to go through training. They need teaching. They need practical application of that instruction. Verse 3 says, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers, it says, of those that are good. Without even natural affection. I mean, there's hardly any agape love in this world today, because that is of God and it's only given to a true Christian. But this is talking about philia love, just what's natural, a natural love that we ought to have for our own flesh and blood. And even that's on the way out. Very sad. Very tragic to see this on so many levels, but it's everywhere. And sometimes it's right across the street. It's just appalling. Mr. Armstrong was right. God's going to have to intervene to save this sick society. I mentioned in passing yesterday this story out of Fulton County and the FBI seizing those ballots and so on. Much more human nature being exposed. They executed a search warrant to recover ballots, other documents related to the 2020 election. And as I said yesterday, of course, the talking heads on the radical left side of things, they're screaming, their heads are exploding. They don't want an honest evaluation of evidence so that we can get to the truth. They want to cover up the truth. Sundance says, this is an interesting development. The FBI executed a federal search warrant today. This was, I think, Wednesday, maybe Tuesday, at the election offices of Fulton County. Previously, the DOJ sued Fulton County to force them to turn over records from the 2020 election. And that's the way it works. You've got to take them to court, sue them, just to see evidence, that's all. And then there's those on the other side trying to cover it up, obscure it, make it difficult. Fight back in court. It's the spirit of the age. This is from CNN. It says, a source familiar with the matter told CNN that the search is related to an effort by the Justice Department to seize election records and search of alleged voter fraud in the county. The Justice Department previously sued, well, that's some of the same details, but Tulsi Gabbard's in on this, which again, the talking heads are fuming over. We got to take her out. We got to take her out while we're trying to take out Kristi Noem and then Bovino. I mean, we've got to line up some impeachments. Make sure these people that are trying to uphold law and order are punished. That's how it works. That's how it works with so many on the radical left. I mean, they are corrupt. They're communist in their thinking. Sundance says, according to the media on the ground in Fulton, both FBI Director Andrew, Deputy Director Andrew Bailey and DNI Tulsi Gabbard were present. A three-person conservative majority on the state election board has repeatedly sought to reopen a case alleging wrongdoing by Fulton County. It says here, the state board sent subpoenas to the county board for various election documents last year. The October subpoena requested all used and void ballots, stubs of all ballots, signature envelopes, and so on. It says here, the county also Wednesday's operation, it says, also follows a December 2025 admission by Fulton County that they did not properly sign tabulator tapes after the 2020 election, which is a violation of state regulations. Yeah, it was a little messy. We made a few mistakes. We're trying to cover our tracks. We're trying to let you know we're honest. The admission was made by the county, also noted as it had misplaced other tabulator tapes and documents related to the controversial election. So it says Georgia regulations state A poll manager and two witnesses must be present for the printing, checking, and signing of each tape from the machines. Listen to this clip here. These auditors checking the Fulton County ballots and finding, surprise, surprise, finding all these duplicate ballots. Clip 7.
And if you don't, and if you think that maybe that's, you know, if you think that maybe that's just a, you know, a mistake or you know, or just a coincidence, here's the next one that shows, you can see Republican is written there, Republican's written there. This is ballot 61. This is ballot number 2. And then each one of them even has this little dot in the Fannie Willis.
Okay. And do you have more of those?
We have the entire batch. I've got, there's 62 images in here total, and I didn't even get a chance to go through all of them. But these are the most obvious ones where it's clear that it's the same. This one's got the little tail on the side.
And so what happened? So do you know the numbers of these total batches? Like,
I don't remember what the totals were when the batches. I don't think they weren't disparate. They were fairly close. But the simple fact that they
so
occurred.
If you see that little bubble right there, this is a one image. Here's another image.
Exactly the same.
Exact same. And the batch number was it 5162?
Also scanner 5162.
Okay, scanner.
Batch number 235, image number 92, matches the same scanner, 5162, batch 234, image 33.
So there you have it. Duplicate ballots. The entire batch is scanned several times.
Duplicate ballots all over the place. There's a small sampling. But just think about it. We had the video. Remember the woman? Poll watchers were told, hey, you got to leave. I mean, we're going to have a flood. Yeah, there was a pipe that broke on a urinal. So we can't count ballots. Everybody needs to leave. And then the woman, remember, she pulled out the suitcase from underneath the table and she started just rolling them through the scanner again. There's other video. There's video. We showed it to you at the time. Just rolling ballots through 1, 2, 3 times. Why not? Now it's being exposed because they're actually looking at the fake ballots. They're seeing the duplicates. And all of those Georgia officials, Republicans in name only, lying through their teeth. Oh, this was perfect. It's a perfect election. John 8 and verse 44 says that the devil is the father of murder or murderers. And also liars. It's a sick world. And it's getting sicker. Because it's spreading. The sickness, the disease, the sin. It's spreading like leaven. It just takes a little bit of leaven to blow up a loaf of bread. And that's what we're seeing. The Telegraph has a piece. What was the title of it? But basically, you know, what we're seeing in Minneapolis. In America's anti-ICE mob, the founding fathers' worst fears are being realized. Here's an outside observer, just like the Daily Mail with this gruesome murder across the street. They're just shocked. I mean, what is happening to America? I mean, if this is the UK, what's the rest of the world thinking? The founders, they laid things out to try to prevent mob rule. But look at what's happening in Minneapolis. Here's an update from Jesse Waters' show, clip 1.
The Minnesota mob has their own socialist supply lines, logistics, and financial benefactors. This isn't organic. What we're seeing is Riot Incorporated. They're calling Minnesota a testing ground for a domestic revolution. This is more than just about immigration. It's about the complete overthrow of Western civilization. The problem is the radical left wants every single illegal to stay, from grandmas to gangsters. And they're telling the street to stand up like it's 1776.
We are seeing something that is absolutely unprecedented. It actually goes back 250 years in Boston when the Minutemen and Minutewomen rose up in order to stand against King George and his arbitrary imposition of laws illegally upon American citizens.
Markey wants to see more Rene Goods and Alex Preddies. They think if they can stack enough bodies, Trump's going to back off.
Do not compare ICE or Border Patrol agents to the Nazis. That's an unfair comparison. The Nazis were willing to show their faces.
These people are bloodthirsty. If they take back the House, they're going to impeach the president and they're going to abolish ICE. That means the millions and millions Biden let in, they get to stay.
As soon as we get the gavels back, we have to dismantle DHS and ICE and CBP.
Democrats are holding the government hostage.
My concern is that there's a bloodlust that's not going to be satisfied. When Homan comes in and Trump talks with Waltz, protesters went to Tim Waltz's office angry that he would even negotiate. So how we get the temperature down in this country without any kind of serious escalation, I honestly don't know. Even Tim Waltz asked the question today, is this Fort Sumter? And I certainly hope it's not.
They're bloodthirsty, as Jesse said there. They want a revolution. They want to topple the government. Western society, even. And, of course, the dear leader, Obama's back. I mean, is this Obama's last stand? He's encouraging insurrection. That's what he does. That's what community organizers do. Promote division and strife. Obama said on January 28th, the other day, in Minneapolis and many other communities across the country, we're seeing people come together to peacefully protest and support their neighbors. If you're looking to get involved, here are some ways to help. And he gives all the links. You got to join the revolution. He said more and more Americans are voicing their outrage at the tactics being deployed by federal agents in Minnesota. Well, where they went in and upheld the law, I mean, there's at least some semblance of law and order. ICE went down to, you know, Louisiana, went into Memphis, I believe. They're not exploding in violence. But like Jesse brought out, I mean, it's not a natural, organic uprising. I mean, these are paid actors in many cases. They're soldiers. And my father's talked about how that the illegal immigrants are like soldiers for Obama's army. Obama said the killing of Preddy is a heartbreaking tragedy. It should also be a wake-up call to every American, regardless of party, that many of our core values as a nation are increasingly under assault. So you heard the politicians there. Get rid of ICE. Get rid of DHS. Get rid of law enforcement. I mean, we're reliving the defund the police movement. I mean, that was loud and clear in 2020. And then, of course, they went quiet when it came to election time because they know they can't get a majority of support. But now here it is again, fully blown. I mean, even more so than law enforcement. Now the government agencies, you know, when the dear leader was in there, I mean, the government law enforcement agencies, they were perfect. They did everything just by the book. It was the local law enforcement. Those were the racists, and we had to get rid of them or put them into training so that they weren't so racist. Now Trump gets in there, and it's all flawed. It's all perverted. It's all violent. I mean, they're just randomly killing people in the streets like they are in Iran. How do you fix this? It's like one of those commentators said in that clip. You know, if they go in and talk to Tim, you know what we think about talking with people that hate you and want to destroy you. But anyway, Trump's people went in and did it. But then the radical left is saying, why are you even talking to him? Because the way they view it, Trump's Orange Hitler. I mean, there's the not so funny man at night saying that Trump's people are worse than Nazis. So here we go. Worse than Nazis. You get all the way down to the bottom of the barrel, you've got Nazis, and then you've got, you know, ICE or DHS. This is Laura Ingraham's take, clip 4.
The signage at that New York rally that was in solidarity with Minnesota about a week ago actually had Lenin and Mao on the main banner. Does this surprise you?
Not at all. I saw that. And in every protest, so-called protest, since BMM and in 2020, we always find communist flag and banners among the protesters. This is a communist revolution. I say that we had Marxist cultural revolution in this country for a long time, but this time in Minneapolis, it is communist insurrection.
He was right. Herbert Armstrong, writing about the communist infiltration decades ago, back in the 50s and 60s. And look at where we are today. We refer to that in Great Again, one of our booklets, quoting Mr. Armstrong. It says, of course, if it could do this peaceably at the polls, this overthrow, that is, it would, but it knows it can't. And then my father says, that was true at the time, but in recent years, these radicals have been able to win at the polls. This shows how much America has degenerated. The radical left has gained control of the government and much of the country. What's the left's end goal? He quotes Mr. Armstrong. If it could do it peaceably at the polls, it would, but it knows it can't. So it does stand for the violent overthrow of the United States of America. That's what this is all about. My father says it's never been merely a political party. It's a movement to destroy the government of America. And it's succeeded on an amazingly high level. They've enjoyed a lot of success. They're out of the White House at the moment, but like you just heard, I mean, what happens if they get the majority in the House? I mean, things could unravel quickly in the United States. We got to prepare ourselves for it. As I said earlier, I mean, those nuclear weapons are real. They are there, tens of thousands of them on this earth. And what happens when human beings, under the inspiration of Satan the devil, start pushing the buttons to send those nukes flying? That's what The Day After depicted. That's the story on that movie. 1983, 43 years ago, and 100 million Americans sat down and watched that TV movie, and they were sobered by it, and they were shaken by it. Someone emailed me saying after yesterday's show, saying that the U.S. population at that time was only 234 million. It wasn't 300 million, so it wasn't a third that watched the movie. It was 43% of America. When does America, except for maybe a Super Bowl event, when does America come together and watch the same program, and in this case, a program about nuclear war and nuclear winter? And they're afraid, they're terrified at the thought of it happening. That was just 43 years ago. 43% of the country, and parents having discussions with their children and discussions with experts, how are we going to prevent this from happening? And an expert that says, yeah, I can't see this happening again. And then Ted Koppel saying, well, there's 41 wars going on right now. How can you be so sure? Has the world changed for the better since 1983? 1983 was not, it was not a Garden of Eden utopia by any means. But look at some of the gruesome acts of violence and the problems with runaway immigration and the breakdown with family and the push for things like homosexual marriage and transgender rights and all those things that have happened these past 40 some years. Has it made us healthier as a society, or are we getting sicker? Is Mr. Armstrong's assessment, I mean, he was giving that assessment. That last version of the missing dimension in sex was 1981. And he says, look, the foundation of any stable society is the family institution. And if that breaks down, then this society is on the way down and out. This sin-sick society. and only God can intervene to save it. Can you imagine what Mr. Armstrong would say about today's society? 2026. Listen again to Laura Ingraham's show from last night, clip 5.
There's a lot of bizarre allegiances and alliances that are being formed here. You have the so-called Red-Green Alliance, where progressives are teaming up with Islamists. In my book, Laura, I quote Islamists as saying, look, this is a marriage of convenience. As soon as we've won, we're going to get rid of these guys. So, you know, they need to be aware of the full extent of what's going on. These are revolutionaries. These are killers. And they are going to do what they need to seize power. That is what they say in their own words.
In Great Again, again, the booklet, my father says, the communist attack from within America is far more significant than you may realize. We are staring it in the face today. I mean, our people need the truth, as I said earlier. They need to know what we're up against here. They need to know where we're headed. They need to know, as I've said this week, what's now forming in Europe. They need to know that the Middle East peace, it's going to blow up in our faces. That's the reality. It's not a popular message, but it's the truth. It's based on Bible prophecy. The Telegraph says that article about the Founding Fathers' worst fears. It says the Founding Fathers lived in a world of kings and emperors. There was no democracy in their time and nothing even close since ancient Greece. Men like Thomas Jefferson and George Washington, well aware of the poor track record of past democracies, feared the power of the uneducated, propertyless masses whose sheer numbers could overwhelm wiser heads in government. Since 2020, mob behavior has become more persistent, spilling into assault, vandalism, looting, and arson to protest everything from Israel, U.S. government policy, law enforcement, or sometimes all three. Some of these lasted for weeks or longer, as in the case of the Black Lives Matter riots that started in May 2020, the Portland Autonomous Zone, the campuses from Columbia to Princeton that were occupied by student tent camps. Now in blue cities, in Minnesota and other states, a new example is emerging, the anti-ICE demonstrators. And yeah, you've got all those members of Congress. You've got the dear leader. I mean, they're inciting it. They look at it, and then the celebrities, the sports stars, they look at it and they love it. They just love it. They love them some mob violence, as long as it's aimed at ICE, or as long as it's aimed at equality, or whatever it is. They get behind it. They support it. They cheer it on. And then they call for defunding law enforcement, celebrating violence. What? And it's interesting to just go through this article and to see it, you know, from an outsider's perspective, in this case, the Telegraph, as they look at America and say, boy, I would not have thought this would happen in America. Of all places. How we got here comes down to three main reasons: ideology, ignorance, and insanity. That's the Telegraph. That's not me talking. That's the Telegraph. So what do you do when large swaths of the country bogged down in ideology that's communist driven and ignorance and then insanity? It's even bringing in the minds of men. Remember, Mr. Armstrong in Mystery of the Ages said every evil act in society, I mean, it comes down to a clashing of minds. And there's a great section in chapter 3 of Mystery of the Ages about the mind of Satan. The mind of God is a wonderful study. But you need to know that there's another mind that's just bombarding this earth with his ideas, his thoughts, his attitudes, his impulses. And that's why you're seeing so much insanity. Ideology drives violence. Tyler Robinson, the suspected killer of Charlie Kirk, Thomas Crook, the gunman who tried to assassinate our president, Robin Westman, who opened fire on children at a Minneapolis church, all seem to have been mired in gender ideology and other fringe ideas. It's a greater threat than the hydrogen bomb, Mr. Armstrong said. Was he exaggerating? Insanity should not be underestimated either. All three of the above appeared to have a screw loose, as did Luigi Mangione, the man accused of assassinating healthcare executive Brian Thompson. It says here, but the greatest of the three is ignorance. Ignorance. Social media posters can have thousands of followers, though they appear never to have unfolded a newspaper or cracked a book. It says one account with 25,000 followers tried to compare America's belated enforcement of immigration law to the Holocaust, to Rwanda genocide. And it goes on and lists a number of other areas where atrocities happen on a wide scale. Where does one even start with that incoherence? The founding fathers created three balanced branches of government to tame the mob, but the ancient force was always there, waiting for a breakdown in public morals and decency to emerge. Unfortunately, their moment seems to have come. Makes me think of the character in Crisis booklet. What happens when you get away from the Bible, from morality, as the foundation for your republic? What happens? We're seeing what happens. It's happening at the local level. It's happening at the community level. It's happening at the national level. And it's happening at the world level as well. I haven't referred to this little booklet in a while, but this booklet on the Epistle of Jude, the most urgent prophecy yet for this end time. Jude has that verse I read at the start about going the way of Cain. If you don't have a copy of this, call our operators today and request your free copy. I want to leave a few extra minutes for this week's installment of World Watch. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We thank you for joining us on today's show. Thanks to many of you for joining us all week, and we'll see you next week.
As the relationship between the United States and Europe has grown tense, German Vice Chancellor Lars Klingbeil has hinted that the Europeans should build their own nuclear arsenal, independent from the United States. France has offered to make the French nuclear umbrella more effective for European security, he said in an interview published January 22nd in Der Spiegel, adding that Germany should seriously consider the option. After decades of nuclear pacifism, Germany wants de facto nuclear weapons independence from NATO and the United States. Yet the vice chancellor stipulated that Germany still wants to host American nuclear bombs on German soil. This is an intriguing position to take, especially considering what Trumpet editor-in-chief Gerald Fleury and his predecessor Herbert W. Armstrong have warned about for decades, based on Bible prophecy. To learn more, read our Trends article, Why the Trumpet Watches Europe's Push Toward a Unified Military. Chinese General Secretary Xi Jinping said January 26th that China and India are good neighbors, friends, and partners. The remark, made to leaders of India on the nation's 77th Republic Day, is the latest sign of dramatic reconciliation between the world's two most populous countries. In June 2020, their border dispute erupted into violence, leaving 20 Indian and at least 4 Chinese soldiers dead. From that point, the relationship entered a period of severe strain. In October 2024, Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi initiated a thaw by meeting with Xi in Russia and agreeing to grant China de facto control over certain disputed border areas. Biblical prophecy indicates that an alliance between India and China will emerge in the modern age under the leadership of Russia. On this basis, we expect China-India relations to continue improving over the long term. To learn more, read Russia and China in Prophecy. German Chancellor Friedrich Merz and Italian Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni signed an updated German-Italian action plan in Rome on January 23rd, as well as several agreements in fields ranging from technology to agriculture. Germany is already Italy's largest trading partner, but it wants an even closer relationship. A notable sign of the strengthening relationship was Merz's Davos speech, in which he mentioned Meloni rather than French President Emmanuel Macron when talking about plans for Europe's future. The updated German-Italian action plan states that the two nations, quote, remain fully committed to strengthening NATO's deterrence and defense and to promoting the EU's defense readiness. Where will Germany and Italy's updated partnership lead? According to Bible prophecy, history will repeat itself, but this time on an even more destructive scale. The trumpet and its predecessor, the plain truth, have long warned of a German-led 10-nation European superpower, a resurrection of the old Holy Roman Empire, which will include Italy. To learn more, read our Trends article, Why the Trumpet Watches Europe's Ongoing Unification Project. To learn more about current world news and how it relates to Bible prophecy, please visit thetrumpet.com.